This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salli wa sallim ala nabiyyina Muhammad. وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تمسك بسنته إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. Welcome back, dear brothers and sisters, to continuing our journey with gems of guidance of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Today's hadith takes a different dimension away from an element of spirituality, but in essence it does contain spirituality. Rather, it codifies how to carry out the actions of spirituality and obedience towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thus we find that the key words or the key theme of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, people of the Sunnah and people of congregation and unity, the key word here being one or the people of Sunnah and those individuals who begin to deviate away from that path. Because some of us that we think that worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or devotion towards the Prophet ﷺ is based upon the way that we feel befitting, or the way that we feel that our inner inclination should tell us how to show love towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and then the Prophet ﷺ. And then this opens up to every individual being free to practice their own way of life or their own format of ibadah towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thus we find that these ahadith, or these various formats of different types of hadith that we find, topic various broad chapters and topics. And thus Imam Nawawi selected these hadith to teach the Muslim Ummah and to benefit them. And thus this today's hadith becomes a key principle amongst the principles of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah about how we conduct our worship and our relationship towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this hadith, as narrated by our mother Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha, whereby she mentioned ahdatha fi amrina hadha ma laysa minhu fa huwa raddun, obviously narrating from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she's narrating this hadith. Another word you find, man amila amalan laysa alayhi amruna fa huwa raddun, whoever introduces into this affair of ours anything which is new, it will be rejected. Another version, whoever carries out an action which does not have a seal of approval or acceptance, then it will be raddun, then it will be rejected by us, rejected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then rejected by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So as we mentioned, that Islam is not always what conforms to my desires and my feelings and my intuitions of love and obedience, as some people think. Some Muslims have this belief, unfortunately, at times, that let any Muslim or every Muslim practice their own faith, their own ibadah, their own worship, how they feel free, that this will bring them close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this, unfortunately, is an incorrect understanding. We are not free to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala how we deem fit, how we feel that this is the way to come close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down a book. He sent down many messengers. And for us, he gave us a final messenger to codify the teachings, to tell us how to worship him, how to obey him. And thus we find, if we was left to the desire or the feelings of each, every single individual, of how they feel is the path of proximity or closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then there will be fawda, there will be disruption, there will be upheavalness on the earth, that every individual is performing their ibadah the way that they seem fit towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ وَعَسَىٰ أَن تُحِبُّ شَيْئًا وَعَسَىٰ أَن تُحِبُّ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ شَرٌ لَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Inside Surah Al-Baqarah, that we find that perhaps that you dislike something and it is good for you, and perhaps وَعَسَىٰ أَن تُحِبُّ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ شَرٌ لَكُمْ, and perhaps you like something and it is evil and not good for you, وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ, Allah knows and you don't know. So Allah knows what is the best thing for the human being and how the human being needs to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ala ya'lamu man khalaq wa huwa latiful khabir. Does not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala know what He's created? He is the most subtle, the most aware. So this is the beginning of our discussion today about the importance of our ibadah being free from any format of innovations. Innovations inside the Arabic language is a term that I'm sure that many of us that we've heard and is thrown around on various individuals. The concept of al-bid'ah, of carrying out an innovated action which has not been legislated inside the Sharia, has no essence, has no foundation, something extra which may be added on or something encouraged without any foundation that people need to carry out inside their lives in the belief that brings them close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first thing that we need to understand is ibadah is tawqifiyah. Ibadah, as jurists, Islamic scholars mention unanimously, that ibadah is codified, it's restricted. A way to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been legislated, and a person needs to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that format to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Person cannot go outside those parameters and make their own form of worship and say this is the way to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when something becomes tawqifiyah, something which is restricted, that becomes a foundation. We cannot now use the argument that what is wrong with me doing this action, because the foundation is there. And as we began with the title Ahl Sunnah, the people of Sunnah are those people who adorn themselves with the Sunnah, who hold fast to the Sunnah in imitation of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A person who is going away from that is, may Allah forbid, is the person who is deviating, because now they are saying, I want to practice this to bring myself close to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or bring myself close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is badi'u samawati wal ard. Allah is the originator, the creator of the heavens and the earth. Here the word badi' is used here. He created something without any preference or any model that existed before, something from new. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the heavens and the earth without any replica. The same word linguistically is used in the format of innovations, that whereby, unfortunately, whereby we are trying to invent something new and attribute it to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inside the beginning of Surah Al-Ma'idah, that we find the fifth chapter of the Quran, verse number 3, Allah mentioned, Al-yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati wa raditu lakum al-islam deena. This day I have chosen for you Islam as your way of life, perfected all my favors, throw my favors upon you, and chosen for you Islam as your way of life. So here Umar al-Khattab, he wept when he heard this verse, because he knew that now Islam will diminish in the sense that people will begin to drift away from the pristine teachings of Islam. Whatever is more closer to the time of the Prophet alayhi salatu salam, and that practice is the closest practice, and that practice was delivered by the best of the creation after the prophets and the messengers, is none other than companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that a person should follow them. And once again, to highlight, as we mentioned, Ahl Sunnah is the consensus. Person should look at the general body of actions interpreted and practiced by the companions. Person shouldn't fall prey where a person may bring a certain narration or a certain action, and let's say on face value it is even authentic, that a single companion done a single action which goes against the majority theme of the rest of the companions and goes against the practice of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, what was his common practice and what was deciphered via his companions, then we don't say, I'm going to follow this one companion, this proves my point. We look at the majority of the practices of the companions, because they saw and visualized on a regular basis the practice of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and in uniformity they saw that this was his general practice. So a single companion can be mistaken in an understanding. That doesn't mean that we are being derogatory towards any of the companions, but we know that companions as a single entity are fallible, can make mistakes, can make wrong interpretations of a text or incorrectly understand something. So we find that this is qa'ida azima, this is a great big principle of Islam. This verse in the Quran inside Surah Al-Ma'idah, the fifth chapter of the Quran, verse number 3, and likewise this hadith about staying, following Islam and staying away from any form of innovations or practicing innovations inside our life. We find that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned, taraktukum ala mahajjatil bayda, I left you upon the open plains. the clear plains. Its night and day is clear. Meaning everything is clear. I've explained everything to you. What is halal, what is haram, what you need to do inside your lives has been explained. Whoever deviates from that, follows, goes away from that, then that person only destroys their own self. So the Prophet ﷺ has told us about ibadah, about worship, that these are the actions that you need to do to get close to him. And the best worshipper of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was the Prophet ﷺ. There will be no saint, there will be no sheikh, there will be no path, there will be no methodology, there will be no individual who can ever excel the worship of the Prophet ﷺ, and if we can say such words, beat the format that he presented and told us, this is the path that you come close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala via this path of obedience. Imam Malik would mention Imam Malik, Darul Hijrah, the Imam of Medina, who never ever left Medina except for to perform Hajj. That's why some of the ulama mention, or they go to the view in the Maliki fiqh, that the rulings or the actions of people of Medina are the most closest to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We should adopt that inside our lives. It's a strong view that exists inside the Maliki fiqh. This again shows, if we took this view, something which is very, very powerful, that because obviously the people of Medina know best the actions and the practices of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Anyhow, he mentioned that everything, whatever was not deen at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, is not to be classified as deen today. And once again, people try to misinterpret such statements and say, well, today you ride a car, you ride an animal, or you use modern forms of transport, or whatever it may be. Here, the key word is in affairs of our religious behavior, deen. We're not speaking about the dunya. Because the dunya, whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the dunya, he uses subhanahu wa ta'ala generic terms. Subhanalladhi sakhara lana hadha. Praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who subjugated this for us. He said hadha. He never said that form of transport is going to be a riding beast or is going to be a car or a caravan. He just left it as hadha, this. That means that in the future you could be using any form mode of transport. So when you embark a transport, you make this dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is left open. Likewise, inside the Quran, it mentions jami'an minhu, everything is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he subjugated for us to use upon the face of this earth. But when it comes to ibadah, then we become very specific that deen is whatever the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam told us to practice and to carry out inside our lives. Amongst the tasks of the Prophet ﷺ is to explain to mankind. Thus we find verses inside the Quran, وَأَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الذِّكْرَ لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ مَا نُزِّلَ إِلَيْهِمْ وَلَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. We've sent down the dhikr upon you. Dhikr here carries the meaning of one of the names of the Quran, that you may explain to mankind that which has been sent down to them, that they may begin to ponder and reflect over this. So amongst the tasks of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is to explain the Quran, to live the Quran, to be an embodiment of the Quran, to teach people the Quran, to explain the Quran, to tell people about the Quran, and to interpret the Quran, to show people. As we find a hadith in Bukhari, once again narrated by Aisha, our mother, Ummul Mu'mineen radiallahu ta'ala anha, kana khuluquhu al-Quran. His character was the Quran. He was the embodiment of the Quran. Whatever the Quran preaches or teaches or says, he tried to live that or did live that inside his life. So the Prophet ﷺ, he lived ibadah, he carried out ibadah and showed us that this is the path to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and explained how we become worshippers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another place inside the Quran, inside Surah Al-Ma'idah, once again we find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, Ya ayyuhar rasul balligh ma unzila ilayka min rabbik. O Messenger, convey to the people that which has been sent down to you. وَإِن لَمْ تَفْعَلْ فَمَا بَلَّغْتَ رِسَالَتَهُ. And if you don't do that, you have not conveyed the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here, we can say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is rebuking the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, that your task is to deliver the message. And if you don't, then there could be an element of that you have not fulfilled that trust. So the Prophet ﷺ has fulfilled the trust of delivering the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to mankind and telling us how to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now here once again we find that people will come and say, well, if we carry out an extra action or innovation, and they will use such words, unfortunately, that this action that we're doing it for the sake of the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. We're doing it in his honor, in his dignity, in remembrance of him. We're doing this extra action. They will even acknowledge that the action that they're doing is an innovation, but we're doing it for him. That's why some have even gone to an extreme view. They say even they know that some, they know they are lying. The ahadith or the words they're attributing, they're saying they are lies, they are fabricated, they accept it. They then make this another action of blasphemy by saying, لا نكذب عليه نكذب له. We're not lying upon him, we're lying for him. We're lying for the sake of Islam. We're lying for the Prophet ﷺ to encourage people to become good individuals or people to practice his sunnah, etc. The strange thing about this mindset is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers this inside the same verse inside Surah Al-Ma'idah, whereby he mentioned subhanahu wa ta'ala, convey to the people that which has been sent down upon you. He concludes this verse subhanahu wa ta'ala by mentioning, Wallahu ya'simuka minan nas. Allah will protect you from mankind. Al-Ishara, pointing to the fact that your task is to deliver the message. Whether people accept it, people reject it, people speak ill of it, people speak good of it, you have to deliver the message. And there will be people who will not accept it. Allah will protect you. And that is the path of Ahlul Sunnah. Wallahu ya'simuka minan nas. Our task is to deliver the message, present the message. People may accept it, people may reject it. We don't beautify Islam, as they say, for, as we began with, for the needs of the people, for the taste of the people. Obviously, there's wisdom, there's etiquettes to teach people, but sometimes parameters need to be placed and need to be highlighted. These are limits of Islam, and this is the path of Islam, and a person who deviates falls into a path of innovation. Not that we apply the opposite. The person who's adorning themselves, being as close as possible to the sunnah, that person is attributed as being a person of innovation, and a person of innovation is given attribute as being a person of the sunnah, when they hold nothing of the sunnah. They openly accept that the narrations that they use are weak, are fabricated, or we're just trying to encourage people, encourage society to return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And here, encouragement to people should be via the Quran and the Sunnah. People try to use another justification excuse that the modern world that we live in, we need to have other elements to encourage people. The Quraysh had many of the things that we share in today's society, of lewdness, of wickedness, of grave worship, shrine worship, of doing haram, that existed there. So did the Prophet ﷺ compromise the message and present it to them? Obviously he used wisdom and the best of speech and best words, but he told them bluntly that this is the message of Islam, this is the path of Islam, this is the teachings of Islam, this is halal, this is haram, this is what is the sunnah action you need to do to bring yourself closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's this hadith as we began with. It mentions whoever introduces into this affair of ours something which we have not introduced or not mentioned, فَهُوَ رَدٌّ, then it will be something which is rejected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are the words of the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. Why is he making such a statement? Is he trying to upset us? Is he trying to upset this Muslim ummah? He's laying out the limits. He's laying out the boundaries that do not disobey or do not come towards a path of worship whereby you deviate away from my path in not fulfilling the way, the characteristics or the behavior that I told you to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another excuse that some people may give is that we intend good. Our intention is good. And we've already laid out the foundation that actions are judged by the intention based upon two principles. That the person is sincere, and there is what is known as mutaba'a. That the action they're doing is in correspondence with the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salam, and then it will be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise, you find a famous statement of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, how many people intend good but never get to that good? Have a good intention, but what they're telling the people to do isn't in conformity with the teachings of Islam or with the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They thus never achieve that goodness of trying to convince people to come towards a path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how many people intend good but never get to that good? We find also inside the Quran, one of the most famous verses inside the Quran, inside Surah Al-Imran, some verse 31 or so that we find, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ يَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ. Say, if you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a claim that not just non-Muslims make, but Muslims make that claim as well, rightfully, that we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how do we show our love towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Do I show my love just by chanting His name? Do I show my love by just prostrating when I feel like at the end of the day? Do I show my love just by clasping my hands in the depths of darkness and just calling upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive me? Do I show my love and my devotion just by holding some beads and praising Him on the tip of my finger or via these beads? Do I show my love just by listening to some recitation of Quran, listening to a nasheed, or listening to, may Allah forbid, a song, and say this is love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The answer is given inside the Quran. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي. If you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then what you need to do to show that love is make ittiba', follow me, follow the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Thus you find Imam al-Wahidi in his works Asbab al-Nuzul, a book of speaking about reasons of revelation of ayat of verses, he mentions that this verse is known as the verse of imtihan or ikhtibar, the verse of testing. This is the testing verse, the exam test, the exam question. You really love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the answer is given, unfortunately, to all of us. Follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and what will happen then? Allah will love you and forgive your sins. Wallahu ghafoor rahim. Allah is the most merciful, the most kind, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In another place inside the Quran, inside the beginning of Surah Al-A'raf, the 7th chapter of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, اتبعوا ما أنزل إليكم من ربكم ولا تتبعوا من دونه أولياء. Allah mentions, اتبعوا ما أنزل إليكم من ربكم. Follow ما أنزل إليكم من ربكم. Follow that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent down, your Lord has sent down upon you. So what does it mean to make ittiba', to follow? That's we find that Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he mentioned, make ittiba' and don't make ibtida'. Follow and don't make innovations. So stick close to following the Quran and the Sunnah and don't follow the path of innovations. And do not follow the awliya, others besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And even if we take this verse or this portion of the verse linguistically, don't follow the awliya. Look at our society, our Muslim society at the moment. Throughout this series, we've been speaking about not overpraising individuals and personalities and praising even religious individuals to such a degree that some of us Muslims, may Allah forbid, we worship them. We believe that they are in some form, they are divine, and what they utter needs to be followed, and we show over reverence. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he disliked that people should stand for him if he entered into a gathering. He rebuked it. If there's any individual that we should stand for, if there's any individual going far beyond that, we should sacrifice our lives for, is for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But he disliked that. He rebuked his companions. He used such words about himself, telling his companions that I am only a servant and a worshipper of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He never used such magnified titles and praises and expected his companions to address him in such a manner or to praise him in such a manner. And as he reminded, even towards the end of his life, he reminded his companions, do not extol me and praise me like the Christians began to praise Jesus alayhi salam. Rather, I am a servant and a worshipper of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This in no manner should people begin to feel that this is being derogatory towards the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses such words about the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. Subhanalladhi asra bi'abdihi laylan min al-masjid al-harami ila al-masjid al-aqsa. In the beginning of Surah Al-Isra, Surah Bani Israel, that we find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who took his servant, gives him that title of being the servant. Tabarakalladhi nazzala ala abdil nazzal furqana ala abdihi liyakuna lil'alamina nadhira. Praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who sent the revelation upon his servant So one is not being derogatory towards the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam or dismantling the respect that belongs to him. We love the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam immensely to such a degree that it should penetrate our hearts and our mind. And Nabiyyu awla bil mu'minina min anfusihim, the Prophet is closer to believers than even their own selves. The verse that we find inside the Quran, An-Nabiyyu awla bil mu'minina min anfusihim, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is closer to believers even than their own selves, inside Surah Al-Ahzab, the 33rd chapter of the Quran, which has numerous passages, numerous verses inside the surah praising and the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam speaking about his rank, his honor and dignity that belongs to him, and to emulate and to copy him are there, which we all accept. But the key element that we're trying to instill within ourselves is the belief of Ahl Sunnah, of how we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and then how we obey the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam inside our lives. So thus he warned us about innovations and to stay free from innovations, whereby he mentioned, من أحدث حدثا أو آوى محدثا فعليه لعنة الله سبحانه وتعالى, hadith in Bukhari Muslim, whoever introduces a new innovation inside this affair of ours, or a person who shields or protects a person who's an innovator, upon that individual is the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is something severe. That's why you can see that how some individuals may become emotional towards people who carry out innovations. Obviously, there are etiquettes to rectify people who carry out innovations. So we mentioned many of these people, they intend good. They have a good love and a good foundation towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But they may have slightly misguided away from the path. An environment around them teaches them that this is the way of showing love and reverence towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and then towards the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And our task is to remind people, to divert people away and bring them back towards the foundation of pristine belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and pristine orthodox application of the Quran and Sunnah in following the life and the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is the foundation. Thus it becomes very strange that people, as we mentioned, begin to label people of Sunnah as people of innovations, because if we bring the hadith to mind, drinking from the fountain of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whereby we all will gather there, whereby we find that the cups will be like the stars, many that be there. However, the Prophet alayhi wasallam, the Prophet of mercy and compassion towards his ummah and towards his people, as the Quran mentions at the end of Surah Tawbah, how will it be that on that day some of his creation will be stopped by Angel Jibreel alayhi wasallam? He will say, let them come, ummati, ummati, let them come and be with me. But he will then be diverted, because Jibreel alayhi salam will say that you don't know what these people they've done after you. These are people who carried out innovations. These are people attributed these innovations towards you. So will now the Prophet of mercy and compassion and love towards his followers, will he say to them, let them come, let them pass by? Rather, unfortunately, he will use such harsh words towards these people. He will say, suhqan, suhqan, be off, be off, you have nothing to do with me. How will that be possible? How will that be? It's something for us to reflect upon, that the path of innovations is a dangerous path. People who are following the Sunnah, why are they being defamed? Why are they being slurs and derogatory terminologies being used against them, when they are only trying to follow the foundation and the essence of the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And thus we find that bid'ah in its various formats has been described. We find Imam Shatibi in his works Al-I'tisam in 2 volumes begin to describe the various formats of innovations that a person should stay away from. And obviously we do accept the fact there are various gradings of innovations that exist there. There is a grading whereby a bid'ah mukaffara, a bid'ah which we could take you outside the fold of Islam in terms of a person's belief, if they invent a new belief or they attribute an incorrect belief towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or towards the Prophet alayhi salam, it could lead them to expel them outside the fold of Islam. And then we find other innovations that exist there, if we can use such words, which are minor innovations, which are still innovations. A person should stay away from them and warn any against them and encourage people to stay away from them. But here comes the key element of many of us in our zeal and our passion in things that we learn, in things that we want to deliver to society, that we become very harsh in the way that we want to rectify the affairs of the people. And thus we find that the water becomes murky, as they say, and then people of goodness and righteousness, people of the sunnah, are then tarnished via the actions of a few individuals, of their zealousness towards society and rectifying people, that people begin to get labelled as being exactly the same in what they want to reform and place inside society. People of sunnah should be people of sunnah, of love and devotion and commitment and kind and good words and good intellect towards the people, to bring them back towards following the teachings of the Quran and the sunnah, to instill that with them. Person shouldn't become one who tarnishes people, who labels people, who throws derogatory words upon people. And we can see that, unfortunately, how some of the youth in what may be called the world of refutations or refuting people, how people will begin to go beyond the limitations. And it's very sad to mention this in this blessed month of Ramadan, but if you look at some of the views and you look at some of the comments that Muslims will make about other Muslims, a person's hair stands on end that these are Muslims who are making such comments about another Muslim, using such words about another Muslim. It becomes troublesome for us teachers and practitioners, that what are we teaching inside society if this is what the masses of the people are doing, and these are the words that they use towards one another, and these are the actions they use towards one another. We should be refining ourselves in all of our ways in trying to encourage people to come towards the sunnah and the practice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And thus we find that obviously at times there will be people who have false practices, and we need to highlight these false practices inside society to teach people with goodness. There's many practices inside a society that Muslims may do which have become common culture, common practice. That doesn't mean that this is now something which is acceptable inside Islam. Something which goes against the Quran and the Sunnah and it has no basis for it, it is a fabrication, then a person needs to speak out against it and tell people, advise people to stay away from this practice. Because we find that the bid'ah becomes common practice inside society, and people begin to think that this is an action of sunnah, and an action of sunnah begins to become classified as an action of innovation, or begins to be something which is strange inside society. Whereas the sunnah should be dominant inside society, the sunnah should be powerful, the sunnah should be visible, and people should know that this is the sunnah of not a personal individual, this is the sunnah and the practice of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So we find that at times we can give an excuse for certain individuals who may carry out certain actions or innovations whereby they may have been mistaken, as Ibn Taymiyyah, Raful Malam an Immat al-A'lam, has written a Risala, a famous book, speak about lifting the blame from the scholars, and in there he mentions various reasons whereby scholars may go to a certain view or they may do a certain practice. Likewise, we find Shah Waliullah Dehlawi has written a similar book as well, speaking about giving excuses for ulama who may have made mistakes, whether it be inside their creed, inside their belief. A person will be startled to see there's many famous ulama that inside their creed, they had a creed which was not in fine tune with the creed of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, or slight elements of their creed deviated. Does that mean now that a person now expels all of their good works, all of their tasks? And just to highlight that point, to just to help us to understand, the book that we're reading at the moment of Imam al-Nawawi, that we find that he slightly to a certain degree inside his belief did deviate away from the path of Ahl Sunnah. Does that now mean that we reject all of his good works? We are now here, as we began with, mentioned that amongst one of the books that has a total acceptance amongst the Muslim globe or the Muslim world at the moment is Imam An-Nawawi's Arba'in An-Nawawiyya, and also his Riyad al-Salihin, Gardens of Righteous, whereby every masjid or every house has this book. So this shows acceptance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and a person needs to overlook whereby a person may have deviated because of the environment they live in, or an interpretation that they fell into, or also other reasons are given. For example, a hadith, they may see the hadith as being authentic in front of them. Some of these ulama are scholars of hadith, so they may have taken the view that the hadith that they're reading is authentic. So they use that hadith as a basis to come to a ruling or to come to a judgment. And thus we should be very, very careful in having a deeper reading of Islam. Not to just take a single view of Islam and then begin to apply that upon other individuals and to say that these people have deviated or these people are away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Many of us in prayer that we find, there's a vast difference of opinion in certain elements of the prayer that a person needs to be tolerant towards and accept it. A person cannot say that this is the only way, and anybody that deviates from that or is away from that is a person who's deviated. As we know, various movements inside the prayer, placing of hands inside the prayer, ways of bowing that we find exist inside, where ulama have differed, where the person should go down on their hands or go down on their knees, where they should place their hands, how they should move their finger. All these are points which exist inside the Sharia, whereby the Sharia is flexible towards this and is tolerant towards this. Likewise, also in this blessed month of Ramadan, that we continuously have this argumentative nature amongst ourselves to debate about the following of Salatul Taraweeh, whether it's 20 raka'at or whether it's 8 raka'at. And extremities are brought from both camps, whereby those who offer 20 will say that people for offering 8, they are people of bid'ah, they're people of innovation, they've strayed away from the path. People who are offering 8 will make the same slurs and slogans upon the people who are following 20. This debate has been taking place for maybe over 1,000 years, whereby fuqaha have been dissecting and coming to various or trying to extract what is the correct view. Even though the hadith inside Bukhari is clear that the Prophet ﷺ, he prayed in the month of Ramadan, outside the month of Ramadan, he only prayed 11 units of prayer, 8 of the Qiyam, and 3 of Witr that he offered, is the general ruling. If a person takes this view and they adopt this view, then they should offer the prayer in that manner. If they take the other view whereby ulama mentioned, whereby he mentioned mathna wa mathna, 2 and 2, and pray as much as you want, so a person can go even beyond 20, and you follow the Maliki fiqh, go beyond that into 33 or 36 raka'at. But the key element being of unity upon that which is benefits the Muslim Ummah, as we began with Ahl Sunnah, is spirituality here, whereby the reading of the Quran and listening to the Quran and the following of prayers to develop a devotion towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the sunnah that we should be practicing. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lead us all to follow the sunnah and the teachings of the Prophet alayhi salam to the best of ability, and keep us free from any innovations, and not keep us away from drinking from his blessed fountain. Barakallahu feekum wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.